This morning is going to be a very life-giving morning because, it already has been. But the thing that God has put on my heart for this morning is really just to share a few testimonies or a few stories about what Jesus has been doing, so that you and I can be encouraged together. And that we can actually celebrate and expect God to do incredible things. Because I think sharing testimony is one of the key ways that actually we can raise expectations amongst us for what God wants to do in and through each one of us. And so I really pray you'll enjoy this morning and really receive something fresh from God. But before I share the stories that I've got kind of on my heart from the Lord, I would like to first of all speak about testimony and the power of giving testimony. To give testimony actually means to write down or speak something about what Jesus has done. Okay, so that's, if I could have the definition up there. It's a written or spoken word about what the Lord has done. And obviously, the Bible is our main reference point of what God has done because that's perfect. It's God-breathed, the word of God. It's a perfect description of what God has done throughout the history of Israel, starting with Abraham and even before them with creation. So we can actually read that and actually hear about and understand about what God did, stories of people's history. And I love reading the Bible, and I trust you do. If you're a Christian, you will love reading the Bible because the Bible is full of life. It's called the Word of Life. And it's also very relevant. Every story there is relevant for our lives and can actually encourage us to want to experience what we're reading rather than just read it something in history, but to read it as the God who is here and now and able to do exactly what is written in the Word today. So it's not just for history, it's for now. And testimony, when people can give testimony or they can be a witness in court of a crime or something, or you can be a witness of something that happened. But when we're talking about a testimony in the biblical sense, we're talking about just declaring how amazing the Lord is. So it's not about how amazing we are. It's about what the Lord has done. So really, all testimony should point, of course, God uses people, but to the Lord. So this is just really declaring the great things that the Lord has done. And Jesus, when he came, and you read through the Gospels, in the book of John, he said, "If you see me, you've seen the Father." In other words, I am the perfect representation of God. He is God, made man, but he says, whatever you see in me, you actually see a perfect reflection of what God wants to do for people. And whatever you hear from me, Jesus said, is actually the very words of God. I don't speak from my own ideas, I speak from the Father. And so Jesus came, and he didn't just come to tell us a lot of lessons or the way of life, although they are life-giving. God's ways are life-giving and God's ways are right. But he came to demonstrate. He didn't just come with words, he came with power. And everywhere he went, he said, "This is God, and this is really the true living God. His nature and character is to do these things." And so he went around healing everyone, delivering everyone. He even fed a slightly hungry crowd. of thousands with a few loaves and fish, which describes his nature, which is generous. So when you read or you read those stories, it actually reflects God. This is who God is. And that's why we can read the Bible and get to know God personally as we kind of see, and the Holy Spirit helps us to see who Jesus really is, who God really is. And the Christian faith essentially is about believing in Jesus, receiving him in your heart, in your spirit, where Christ now dwells in you. And that indwelling Christ is someone that he wants to reveal himself through you to the whole world. So the same Jesus walking around through the Gospels is in you. And he wants to do the same things in this generation. In Hebrews 13 verse 8 it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me just say that again. Jesus Christ is the same. Now, if something's the same, it's exactly the representation of the thing. It's perfectly identical. So Jesus is the same, both in nature and power and will. Yesterday, 2,000 years ago, actually 1,000 years ago, actually 100 years ago, actually in any revival, in any kind of life-changing, world-changing event, Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday and today, currently, he hasn't lost any power and he hasn't changed his character. He's always the same. And tomorrow, he is going to be the same. And so we need to kind of bring everything about Jesus into our kind of historical reference of Christ, but also to the current. And we have no fear of the future because he's the same for our futures. There's no need to fear your future because Jesus Christ will do the same things he's always done for the people who trust in him. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? So testimony really is speaking about or books or the Bible, written word, about what the Lord has done. And in the Hebrew, the word testimony means do again. Okay? That's what testimony means, do again. And if you're going to do something again, we would use the word repeat. So if you're going to have to repeat something, you need to do that over and over. And so testimony has within its meaning something that is said again and actually done again. Because when you say what God has done, it carries the power that God will do it again. Some of you are sleeping. It's not a good day to be asleep this morning. This is a good day just to stay awake. Just so that God can use you. Testimony is do it again. So you're repeating what God has done. And actually, if you repeat it and speak it to someone, they hear it and God is given an opportunity to do what he did in you again. How many of you have experienced the miraculous power of Jesus in your body? You can say to many people about what's happened, and God will do it again. That's what testimony actually means. And one of my problems actually, and it really is an issue, is that I can forget what God's done. I don't know if anybody out there actually occasionally has slight amnesia about what God has done in and for them personally. And we forget what he has done, and we kind of come with an empty bowl sort of a bit like Oliver. And just like, you know, nothing's there. It's just. But if we live with that fullness of what God has done, we come expecting what God will do. And it's so easy to stop testifying about what God has done in your life. It's so easy for it to be ordinary and to be made normal even by you. And you don't think it's worth repeating because it was done a few years ago. Well, I got healed 20 years ago. Well, tell everyone you did. Because that's what actually it means to testify about the great things the Lord has done. And it releases expectation and power for God to do it again. Now, look with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O church. Well, okay, O Israel, but all the promises and all the scripture is God-breathed and useful for us, isn't it? Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, praise God, we're in the new covenant where your doorposts don't have to be written on. And you don't have to carry a phylactery on your forehead. Has anybody heard of a phylactery? A little box with the commands of God on your forehead. Because now the law of God is in your heart. And the Holy Spirit lives in you. And He will cause you to obey the Lord. So the external covenant has now become an internal one. And it's better. Thank you, Jesus. However, this still speaks to us in that Israel or God's people were taught to remember the commandments, to remember what God had done, and to write them down or talk about them with their children. So every home should be filled with talking about what God has done. That's God's plan. Now, this isn't the church, the house of God, isn't the only house we talk about God. We are believers in the home. And at home, we talk about to our children the things that God has done. And at home, we talk about if you're living in kind of a different circumstances, if you're sharing a home, you talk about what God's done. And in your faith friendships, you don't just leave your faith for a Sunday. You talk about what God's doing in your marriages. You wake up and say, hey, I forgot to tell you, sweetheart, yesterday I prayed in the morning. You remember we prayed and God did this. Isn't He amazing? Let's talk about the miracles that God is doing rather than just what we want God to do. Talk about what He has done. And this was going to create a culture in the children and the next generation of reality of God. And it isn't just in the Bible. My dad and mum believe this and have a relationship with this God. And this ongoing relationship is being communicated by the testimonies that keep coming of what God is doing. And therefore, we're not to forget all His benefits. We're to talk about them. Where we walk, now that must mean at work. This week, You may be given an opportunity to give a testimony about how the Lord has changed your life or brought you to peace. How he answered a prayer. How he's kept you from doing what all other parents do and get depressed and unhappy because of what's happened to your kids. It's a testimony about how you can be as you are in Christ in the circumstances you're living in. And this was to be a continual speaking. Now you might think, well, I've heard that before, sweetheart. Do we have to talk about that again? I mean, you should, if God brought you together as a married couple, you should never stop talking about how God led you to be together. Nobody wants to talk about that? Well, it's time to talk about it. It's time to talk about the way God has intervened in your life and brought the best into your life. It's time to talk about the way God saved you. And don't forget, even if it was 50 years ago, he still did it. And it's worth telling your kids and your grandkids. And so this constant, continuous speaking to family, friends, and church is to create this society of people who are constantly talking about what God has done. And it's wonderful to have a fresh testimony, not just an old one. You know, if God really is who he is to you, you're going to always have a fresh testimony. If you're living in the past, you'll only have one from 30 years ago. And no wonder people get bored. Because they have heard it for 30 years. And so we're talking about a living God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the testimony is doing again, repeating, saying it again, and continually keeping the awareness of God in our relationships, of God in the way we think and speak. One of the most powerful things that we did recently in our academy, our training, we asked the students, and we did it ourselves, to write down their faith journey. Can you remember, some of you, how powerful that was? And how you talked about how God saved you and how he led you and how he brought you together with this person and how suddenly you arrived in that situation. It was amazing. And after writing down really your testimony, you were like, God is amazing. I do hear God. I have seen God do all of this. But sometimes we get into this, can't remember anything, but where's God here? And if we live in the environment of remembrance and speaking continually about what God has done, we will create an atmosphere for even more. An atmosphere for the creative power of the Holy Spirit to do again the things that he has already done. And you might be talking to somebody this week who needs the miracle you've had. And they need you to tell them that this is what God did for you and he is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for me, he is going to do it for you. It releases expectation and power for God to do it again. We all have a personal history with the Lord. You have a story, a Jesus story, and it's well worth telling. Because you need to go and tell everyone what God has done for you. And if your kids and this generation, these people around us hear the reality of the living God to us, it's not just preaching from a platform. It's actually the workplace is your platform. The streets are your platform. We're out there, walk about, meeting people with a testimony about how amazing Jesus is. We've always got something to say about how good God is in our lives and experience. And it really actually helps you to have faith for the now. When Pastor Andrew and I announced that we were taking our last floor offering in this phase of the building project, I'm sure in 20, 30 years or whatever, 10 years, there'll be another phase. But in this phase, the refurb for the ground floor, do you know what? I struggled with that offering more than all the others, the other two. And this was the floor that took the most financial giving. The second floor took a lot. And the third floor is going to take a lot. And I at night I'd be praying and I'd be like, don't think you'll get enough in. There's not going to be enough in this offering. It's just not going to work. And, you know, I was constantly feeling like I shouldn't take an offering. And the Lord really spoke to me one morning. I said, Lord, if I'm going to take an offering, I've got to be in faith. Because you can't do anything without faith. If you do it, it isn't going to work. So even the offerings we take in faith, and you give in faith, if that isn't working, then there's no power in it. And I said, Lord, I am sorry, but I'm really struggling with this. Has anybody ever struggled with something that you know God wants you to do? Okay, I'm really struggling. I'm finding this really hard. And I'm reading, actually it's in Deuteronomy. And I had this word from the Lord written there in Scripture. As a father has carried his son, so the Lord has carried you this far, and he will carry you on. I'm like, I got faith. I said, well, let's think about how he's carried us this far, shall we, church? We got this building 2 years ago. Sorry. We got the building. It's a miracle. Look what the Lord has done. We had a shabby, low-ceiling, naff top floor. Look what the Lord has done. We also had an equally shabby, and it wasn't shabby chic, middle floor. Look, the facilities for the kids are amazing. And for the young people, and we love to see children come in, new ones especially. I want to meet Olivia later. Anyway, I've gone off piste here. It's just, if you remember how the Lord carried you, it gives you faith. And I suddenly thought, well, Lord, it was a miraculous offering. I rang Pastor Colin and told him, and he said, you better take the offering at Faith Camp. It's that good. He said, if you can get offerings in like that, that is mega. I want you to do something in him. I said, no, it only works where you're called. And because you've got faith for what God calls you to do, you carry on. I'll back you all the way. And so I had to repeat in my mind over and over again what God had done, what he's done in my personal history, in providing for me personally. I can't, like the stories, I would be here probably for at least a year telling you the stories of God's provision financially in my life and with people. If I think about how blessed I am with the people that are around me, my kind of family around me, my church family, my faith friends, I am just so blessed, I can't even get over it. I'm so grateful, but if I remember that, I think it'd be no problem in the future. I'm always going to have, God's always going to provide. If he carried me this far, he's going to carry me on. Oh, come on. Isn't Jesus amazing? And, you know, we need to repeat it. Keep telling it so he does it again in the lives of those of people who are listening. In your marriage, just think about what he's done. With your children. Come on, let's thank the Lord and remember and keep telling. Keep the testimony alive in us. How he's changed you. If I think about how God's changed me and you think about how he's changed you, are you more gracious? If not, help. But you know, the Lord's changed you. More peaceful. God helped you through a really difficult time. Is he bringing you through? Proving that he's faithful and he will bring you through? Look at what he has done. And he'll encourage you for what he's going to do. He'll never leave you and never forsake you. I love listening to people, and particularly older saints. If I can sit with, I remember sitting with a friend of ours who's gone to be with the Lord now. He wasn't that old, actually, but he was a revivalist from Burundi. And he told us, when we were out on mission in Burundi, he told us that as a boy, he had watched his father go and pray. And as his father prayed, he'd go off into the garden shed to pray. He came out ages later. He used to pray a long time. And he had like a shining face. And as a 3 and 4 year old, this little boy used to remember his father's face after his dad had prayed. Now, wouldn't some of you who have kids or who are going to have kids love your kids to say, if that's what prayer does, I want it. And his testimony spoke to me about the influence. And I know, and I hope Sandra doesn't mind, but your parents were amazing. And I didn't really know them, but I read a Bible that you lent me this week of your mum's, where she has written in the Bible, she went to be the Lord years ago, written, and they still speak her. I'm reading this and the way she's praying and the way she prays about some of her kids who aren't even saved yet. You're like, they're leaving an inheritance for the next generation. Somebody will one day read your words. Isn't that incredible? And so the reality of Jesus to you, showing people around you that this is the real relationship I have. I don't just keep it to myself. We're out there with Jesus. We're sharing what he is and what he has done amongst us. And this man in Burundi, he forever changed our lives. And in the revival in 1935, the people in that revival were called the Shining Ones. Because like Moses, their face shone with the glory of God. Now that kind of testimony could motivate you to go to prayer. And it should. Rather than, Lord, I need a miracle. Amen. But we're talking about communion. We're talking about being with God and being in his presence. People have told me stories about how they've won the lost. And it's inspired me to do it again. Lord, do that in my life. I've heard about somebody who did a miracle. And I thought, I want to see that happen in my life. Do it again, Lord. If I sit down and write a list of the things God's done, cancers healed, people out of wheelchairs, in my experience in through the ministry that God's given me, it's amazing, but I so quickly forget. And if I've got a headache, I said, Lord, do I need a paracetamol? Because you so come adjusted to the natural, rather than thinking about the God who is here, who is the healer in the here and now. Okay, so I'm going to tell you some stories in the hope that God will do that again in us and through us to the world around us. And the first story I want to tell you is about a testimony about a gentleman called Eric Liddell. And some of you may have heard of this man. He was an Olympic champion in, it must have been in the 1930s, was it? And he won the 400-meter gold medal. But he didn't live his whole life for sport. In fact, he was made famous by the film Chariots of Fire. And he was made famous not just for sport, because when his race was organized for the Sunday, this is the final, he refused to run because it's the Lord's Day. And he was a man of Christian principle. He said, I don't run on a Sunday, even if I've spent my life practicing for this. Don't we need a bit of that backbone back in the church? Come on, all God's people said. Amen. Don't we need that revelation of the Lord's Day? And that meant his dream died because of his principle. But how many of you know that if you give something up for God, he'll give you even more? Somehow, somebody said, you run in the 400, and he got the gold. That is supernatural. It wasn't even his race. And he won the gold. Because whatever we sacrifice for the Lord, he will somehow give back even more. Anyway, his goal in life wasn't running, although he said, I run for God's pleasure. He was an excellent sportsman. He did everything for the glory of God, including his running. But he wanted to be a missionary. He felt he had a call to be a missionary in China. And he left for China, and somehow he ended up in a prison camp at the end of the war. In fact, it was there that he died, and he was only 43 when he died. And in this prison camp, he was still the same man as he was, whether he was on the track or whether he was on the mission field. He was now in a prison camp, and it didn't change his personality being in a hard place. Because whilst he was in there, he met a young man who was 17 years old, and this young man's name was Steve Metcalf. And the reason I know this story is because Waitrose have a deal where you can get a free paper on a Friday, and I bought the paper. Well, I didn't buy it. I got a free paper on my day off. And I read this obituary to Steve Metcalf, and it referenced what Eric Liddell did in terms of impacting this young man's life. And so I read this in a newspaper. I'm talking about Eric Liddell still bearing fruit. Isn't that his testimony went throughout the nation. Isn't that incredible? Because your life can still speak even if you're with the Lord, providing you've lived it for God here. Doesn't count for anything if you don't live for God here. And basically, he met this young man who was very discouraged. And he said, he's a bit of a sportsman, and when we've got a bit of time, which I don't know how you could have in a Japanese prison camp, he trained him to run. And this young man didn't have any shoes, and the conditions were horrendous in there. And he said, here, you can have my running shoes. So Eric Liddell gave this young man of 17 his running shoes. And fairly soon after, because they were in relationship, he noticed that Steve had a really bad attitude, as everybody else did, towards the Japanese guards. And Steve said to this young man, if you have hate in your heart for those who God loves, then you're self-centered. But if you will pray for your enemies, you will have a God-centered heart. And God will give you his love for your enemies. And your prayer will change your attitude to these people. And so, Eric Liddell, in prison, is speaking to this young man. A few weeks later, Eric Liddell died in prison camp. And Steve was one of the young men who carried his coffin. And as he stood there, he said to the Lord, Lord, if I get out of prison, I promise to serve you all my life as a missionary in Japan. The very place he was in prison. And this young man came out of prison, got trained for the ministry, and church planted all the way through Japan. He says, directly as a result of Eric Liddell handing the baton of forgiveness to me in prison. What a story. And what a story to read in a newspaper. And what a story that God wants to do again in us. He wants us to be like Eric Liddell. That when we're in a tight spot like a prison, and there are people around us giving way, we won't give way because Jesus is our strength. But in that situation, he wants us to hand on the baton and say, if you will pray for your enemies, God will change your attitude. And you never know a person you hand on that baton to. They might church plant somewhere in the world just because you had that influential moment with them. What a small space of time that was. But didn't he take advantage to live for God's glory? What a testimony that is. And I pray that God will do that again in this season, this generation, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we will live like Eric Liddell for the glory of God in everything, then that testimony will produce fruit in the lives of those around us. What a wonderful story to read in a newspaper. And so his life is still speaking. The next testimony, I'm going to invite Sandra to come and tell about what happened this week in Walkabout. Because as a church, we have been encouraged by the Lord to all of us get involved with speaking, talking to people, and going out together to reach people. And Sandra went out with Shirley on Tuesday night and had an unusual time. So I'd like her to come up and share this testimony. Round of applause.
On Tuesday morning, I was reading in John 4, you know, where Jesus met the woman at the well, and he had this divine information about her, you know, having, well, the man that you're with is not your husband, you know, and that she'd had a number of husbands. And Cheryl and I were going out on Tuesday night, Walkabout, and we just really asked the Lord for some divine information before we went. And we had two pieces of paper, and we started making lists as we were praying before we went. We had been asking the Lord for a Zacchaeus moment, you know, something that was a person up a tree that was so standout obvious that we knew that was who we were to speak to. Anyway, so we had two bits of paper, and I wrote down bench, was just came really strongly to me. Cheryl wrote beard. She wrote McDonald's. I wrote red jumper. And there were just things like that. And so we looked at the two lists and we went, well, they're kind of two locations. The benches are in Vivory Park, or there's McDonald's, and Vivory Park shuts first, so we'll go there first. So we're walking along just praying, and get to Vivory Park, and I kind of thought there'd be loads of people on benches, and I can't. Didn't really know how we were going to identify which bench to go to. Vivory Park was empty. There was no one there. Every bench was empty. There was no one sitting on the benches. There was no one in the park. Till we, just in the distance, the last bench before we left the park, I said, Cheryl, there's a man on a bench right down there near the exit. And as we walked, she went, Sandy's got a beard. And I went, no, no, he hasn't. He hasn't got a beard. He's just pale. And then we got up and we went, he's got a beard. And so as we were walking along, we were kind of like, how do you start the conversation? Okay, we've got a man, beard and a bench. Great. So Cheryl was brilliant. She just said, do you know what time the park closes? Because there's nobody here. And it's like, are they, we about to get locked in? And the man said, no, it doesn't shut until 9 o'clock. The park rangers over there, I know him, I come and sit here quite often. And he said, are you two not from, are you on holiday? Because you don't kind of know what's going on. And we said, no, we're just friends from a local church out for a walk. And he said, oh, right. He said, well, why are you out for the walk? And I said, well, we're actually looking for people that God might want us to meet. And I said, this is a bit of a funny question, but is there anything we could pray for you for? And he said, no, there's not. I said, okay, fair enough. I've got leukemia, obviously. And and I've just been in hospital with C. difficile for 2 weeks. I should be in Bristol getting a bone marrow transplant. But the C. difficile has knocked it back a couple of weeks. And so Cheryl said to him, do you know, I had a cancer diagnosis. And told her story about how God had delivered her. And he went, that's brilliant. And she said, are you sure you wouldn't like us to pray for you? And he said, I'd absolutely love you to pray for me. So so we said, are you okay if we pray here and now? And he said, oh, yeah, definitely. So we prayed for him and just asked the Lord for a miracle that in his body, and for the best possible medical care, that this next 3 months, you know, where potentially he has the bone marrow transplant, will be unusually graced. And he said, so, you know, asked about the church. We gave him a join us card. And what was I going to say there? Oh, yeah, anyway, just we said to him, you know, would you like us to come and visit or anything? He said, no, I'm better without visitors because I just get so weak. So anyway, I said, would you mind if I showed you something? And I'd brought the two lists with us that had the beard and the bench. And I just said, God really wanted you to us to meet you tonight. It was you he wanted us to connect with. And we showed him the lists and he went, it was me. Look, he said, there's no other person on a bench here. And never mind anybody with a beard. And so we finished the conversation and nonchalantly walked out going, oh, that lavender's lovely, Cheryl, isn't it? Trying to be really like, we got round the corner and we were like, doing this happy dance. Kind of just so excited about what God had done. Then we went to McDonald's. We met a lady that had been here last Sunday from Startright. And had two other connections with people that were on our lists. And we were just so excited that the Lord wants to give us personal information just from that story in John 4 that will connect people with him.
Brilliant. Thank you, Brilliant. What a great testimony about really the Lord revealing things that actually encourage the person you're meeting's faith as well as yours. And I'd just like us just to quickly pray before we hear the next testimony. Can we just quickly stand and we're just going to pray for God to do that again in your life. Not just through Sandra or somebody else around, but through all of us. That the Holy Spirit will give us words of knowledge for the people that we meet. So let's just pray. You pray and ask the Lord through his Spirit to give you information that will help people and lead you to people. Thank you, Lord, that there's been faith created for this. And this morning we say, Lord, do it again. Do it again with each one of us. Let us have words of knowledge and information that leads us to the right people. And Lord, mainly for the purpose of those people coming to know you. We pray that we would use testimony like Shirley did to inspire that person to receive prayer and to receive something from you. Lord, let us open our mouths and just declare to people the great things you've done. And I want to thank you, Lord, for your hand on this man's life and that you will heal him and bring him to salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this last testimony is something that I experienced this week. And to be honest, I've been walking on air since. It's been amazing. And I hope you find it as amazing as I did. Because I'm going to tell you what God did. Just down the road, past M&S there, straight down into town, there is a coffee shop. And When we started Walkabout, Pastor Angie and I, we went in and we got connected with this young couple who are the owners of this fairly new business. They've been around over a year in business there. And lovely young couple, and I invited them to Out of Darkness, our event last year, to bring people to Christ. And they didn't come, but that kind of didn't stop me from keeping going with them, because they're not like people you meet in the park. They're there all the time. And I kept going back in, talking to them and relating to them. And this Tuesday morning, we had a meeting here, Pastor Andrew and I, in Crescent House. And I was a bit early. It was just after 9 o'clock in the morning. And Sandra had a meeting, I think, here with the lift man to service the lift. And so I decided to pop into the coffee shop and get some coffees. And they were still closed just after 9 o'clock. They were in there, but I could see them working. And I waved through the window and said, any chance for a coffee? He came to the door, young man, and he opened the door and he said, no, come in, it's been the traffic. And with all the roadworks that have been going on with Wessex Water down through the middle of town, everything has been snagged up and blocked, as you well know if you've tried to come in. And he said, and I could see he was very distraught. So I went in and I said, I don't want to kind of bother you. I don't have to buy a coffee. He said, no, stay. We'll get you a coffee. So they got me a couple of coffees. And I just got talking to them and I said, are you guys all right? And they just said, no, we're not. This Wessex Water thing has absolutely stopped people coming in. And the car park, some people don't even know the car parks are open, and business has just been terrible for us. So much to the point where we just don't know if we can go on. And we've asked Wessex Water to bring in a loss adjuster for our profits to see if we can get some money off them because of the inconvenience of having this road closed. And as they're talking to me, I just see this one, I love them very much. You know, they're a lovely young couple. And I'm moved to tears. And I'm starting, my eyes are filling up. And I know it's the compassion of Jesus. I just know it's the heart of Jesus for these two. And they don't have help because they don't have the Lord. We've got the Lord. So we're never helpless. And I'm standing there, my eyes are filling up, and I said, I am so sorry. And they said, oh, you're so nice, and you're so lovely. And I said, no, really, I am so sad about this, because it was almost they were at breaking point. And she burst into tears. I think seeing my tears, she was off. And he was standing there looking a bit awkward, but tears in his eyes. So I'm talking about a moment, you know, in this shop. And I said, look, I'm a Christian. And I said, all I can tell you is I'm going to pray. And opened up my purse, took out some money, and I said, you probably won't want to take this, but you've got to. I've got some money here, more than the coffee. And I'm going to give it to you as a sign that money's going to come in. And I just handed over this money. Oh, we can't take it. I said, oh, yes, you can. You have to take it. Understand. I remembered later in the morning before, I didn't remember while I was talking to her, Jesus, the Lord had spoken, as I was reading my Bible, the Lord had spoken to me about the bread and fishes. I was buzzing when I remembered that. I thought, that is, give what you have and the Lord will multiply it. So I come out of there and say, look, I'm going to pray. I tell them, prayer changes things. And they were like, fingers crossed, still crying, shop's empty, looking hopeless. Anyway, we got together. Sandra was in the building. I said, come on, we're going to pray. I said, we are going to pray. My heart was breaking for this couple. I said, we're going to pray that God will do a miracle. Fill the shop with people. And somehow change the situation. I kind of carried it. You know how you get a prayer burden for people sometimes? It doesn't leave your heart. And I carried it all day. In the afternoon, I said, San, go in and buy another coffee. Like, so in she goes. And in fact, she gave them money as well. Say she did the same thing. But when she went in, this is just a few hours later, she walked in and thought, it's packed. It's packed. And this couple are trying to get everything done, and she comes to the counter and she said, two coffees, please. She said, my friend came in earlier, Judith. Is that her name? We've always thought there was something about her. There is, Jesus. There is something about us. The kingdom, that's about. And we just can't believe how she's been. But, well, look what's happened. The shop's full. I don't know, they think they said anything else relevant to you, did they? They've been run off their feet all day. And hadn't had any business for weeks. So I'm talking about God answering prayer. I'm talking, that is a testimony. So, the next night we come in to do marriage prayer, Pastor Angie and I, with the lovely Ashley and Doris. And we come in and I'm driving in thinking, because I went to pick you up and I came around this road rather than this way, where's Wessex Water? They were planned to be here another 7 weeks. It was on the website. These couple had been on. San had been on. They're on the website to be there another 6 or 7 weeks. Within 24 hours, they'd gone. If God can part the Red Sea, there is no issue you're facing that he can't sort. I mean, we're talking about no issue you're facing God can't deal with. So Wessex Water gets shifted. Roads get opened. And I just thought, do you know, I'm not going to leave it too long. My day off on Friday, we had to do all the cleaning and all the stuff that you do on a day off. And then came into town about 3 PM because I said, I've got to get and see this couple because I don't want to leave it beyond Tuesday. So I go in, and it's packed. And as I walk in, I mean, I must be their new best friend, because the way they looked at me, and the Gazette were in. These two people from the Gazette were there. I'm thinking, why are you leaving the Gazette? Get advertising. Go on. Go and talk to them, although God does better advertising, but they were talking to these people, and they came straight to me, and San was there as well. I said, two coffees, please. I see you're full. Big smile on my face. I said, God answers prayer. The girl went, we can't believe what happened. Within hours, this place was full. Within 24 hours, Wessex Water had left. But also on the same day you came in, we've had someone who's had an outstanding loan for 6 months that owed us money. And on the day you came, they came and gave us that money, which tides us over while the business gets back on its feet. I mean, isn't that amazing? What Jesus has done. And isn't it powerful to hear the stories? Even just this morning, a few stories about what God has done. And what about your story? And even hearing what we've heard today, God, do this again in the businesses around here that are failing. Do it again. Get us into the places where people are desperate, where we can pray and change the course of people's lives through prayer. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Now, I'd like you to think of one thing, remember one thing, right here and now, that Jesus has done in your life. Whether it's a few years ago or current, just think of one thing. And I would like you to tell it to someone who doesn't always hear you. Like if you're with your husband or wife, split, because they've heard it. Tell somebody else your story. Just turn around and let them know. Just tell somebody about what Jesus has done.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.